We'll be looking today at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13 and reading and studying through verse 17. And before we begin that reading, remember that Peter has been talking to these Christians about what they have as Christians and who they are as Christians. They are sanctified. They are born again. They have a great inheritance that he talks about. And of course, they have this great salvation that the prophets prophesied about but did not understand like we do. Now, in light of all these blessings and advantages that they have, he tells them to get ready for the trials and the responsibilities of the Christian life. With that in mind, let's begin in verse 13 and notice that he begins with this word wherefore, which means that we need to remember what he said before this, leading up to it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now let's go back to verse 13 and notice the wording here. He says to gird up the loins of your mind. This means to prepare. This means to get ready. Now, in Bible times, to gird meant to tie a sash or somewhat like a belt around the waist and pull that garment tighter so that it won't get in the way. Jews did this when they went to work on something or when they had to run or to climb. So what this means, as an illustration, is to gird up, as he says, the loins not of your body, but of your mind. That means to pull your thoughts together, to tighten up your mind. It means that we're not to be wandering in our mind and daydreaming because we have a goal, and we need to focus on that goal. Now, he says after this to be sober. That means to be calm and collected in spirit. It means to have self-control. To be sober in a physical sense means that you have your senses, that you are in control. And to be sober spiritually means that you are clear in your mind. You are clear-headed. You're not dizzy-headed. You're not unable to concentrate and focus. You are clear-minded about your faith. You're clear in your mind about what is most important. You are clear in your mind about your duties. You're not clouded, you're not fuzzy, and you're not wishy-washy. He also says to hope to the end, the King James says. And the expression to the end simply means perfectly, completely, or fully. This means that as you live the Christian life, you are to hope about eternal life and for eternal life with all of your might. You are to hope perfectly or fully, that is, hope with everything that you have and hope constantly. And remember that hope in the Bible is not some kind of I guess so feeling. It's not some kind of hunch that a person has. It is confident and patient expectation. That is hope according to the Bible. And he says to hope for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, at Jesus' coming. That is the same thing as the salvation that he talked about ready to be revealed in the last time in verse 5. Now, in verses 14 through 16, he talks about the big change that has occurred. Now, this is a major point in this section and throughout the book. As a matter of fact, you will find this same point being made in many of the epistles, and that is the inspired writer contrasts what these Christians were before they were baptized with what they are now after they have been baptized. He contrasts the way that they were living with how they are to live now that they are Christians, now that they are saints. Now remember, he said that they had been sanctified or set apart from the world. He said that they had been born again. He said that they had been saved in these verses that we've already looked at. Now he says in verse 14 that they are to be as obedient children. Why? Because God has begotten them. They have been born again. Now they are children of God. And since they're children of God, they're not to be like they were before. He says that they are not to fashion themselves. We are not to fashion ourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, he says. Now again, this is so similar to what you find in other passages that I do want to read what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. And notice how that Paul uses some of these same words, and the thought is exactly the same. It's a contrast between what they were and what they are now. In Ephesians 4, verse 17, Paul said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, that is, from this point, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And then he goes on and says in verse 20, "But you have not so learned Christ." There's the contrast. Now, Peter is doing the same thing here. He says, you are not to live your lives according to the former lusts. That is, the desires that you had before you were Christians and the desires that you fulfilled with the sins of this world. And he talks about your ignorance at that time. They had ignored what they could have known about God from nature, and they were consequently ignorant about the right kind of behavior in at least some ways. So Peter says, you're not to live according to these former lusts. You're not to live like you used to live. Now, he's going to go into the specific details of the kind of life that they were living later in this book. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, he tells us the kind of lifestyle that they had before they were baptized. In 1 Peter 4, verse 3, he says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked, that is, how we lived, in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." Now, that's how these people lived before they were baptized. Those are the sins that they committed. And Peter is saying, you're not like that anymore. You are sanctified. You're set apart. You have changed. And so he tells them that they should stay changed. Now, let's look at verses 15 and 16. He said, "But as he which has called you is holy," that is, God is holy, "so be you holy in all manner of conversation," that is, in every way in your life, "because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, he says in verse 16 that this was written, that is, it was written in the Old Testament scriptures. Where? What passage is Peter citing here? Well, one of these passages that contains this idea and these words is Leviticus 19, verse 2. And if you want to read a Bible commentary on what being holy means and what being holy involves, if you want to see an inspired commentary on 1 Peter 1, verse 16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," all you have to do is to read Leviticus chapter 19. And if you write notes in your Bible in the margin or at the side of a verse, you may want to write down Leviticus 19 by the side of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Now, here are some things that you will read in Leviticus chapter 19 where God is telling the Israelites that they are to be holy. And now Peter is quoting that same verse, and he's telling these Christians that they are to be holy. That is, they are to be sanctified. They are to be saints, because that's the meaning of the word saint. In Leviticus chapter 19, You find in verse 3 that God says to honor your parents. In verse 4, he says, don't worship other gods. In verses 9 and 10, he said, leave some of your crops in the field for poor people. In verse 11, he says, don't lie and steal. In verse 12, he says, don't swear falsely. In verse 13, he said, don't defraud your workers. Make sure that you pay the people that are working for you. In verse 14, he said, don't ever mock and mistreat handicapped people. In verse 15, he said, don't be partial to the rich or the poor. In verse 16, he said, don't be a gossiper or a talebearer. In verse 17, he said, don't hate your brother. In verse 18, he said, don't hold grudges, but love your neighbor as yourself. In verse 20, he said, don't commit fornication. In verse 31, he said, don't use witchcraft. In verse 32, he teaches us to respect our elders, rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man. Verse 32 of Leviticus 19. In verses 33 and 34, he says to treat foreigners kindly. And in verses 35 and 36, he tells them not to cheat people. Now, those are some things involved in living a holy, that is, a sanctified life. Now then, let's go to verse 17. He talks to us here about how to pass the time. He says, and if you call on the Father, and that means to pray as a Christian to the Father or to worship God, he says that God is the one who is impartial. He, without respect of persons, that is, impartially, he judges according to every man's work. God is impartial, whether a person is a Jew or a Gentile, whether a man is rich or poor. God judges according to what he does. God judges him according to his deeds, not according to what a man says about himself, not according to what others say about him or think about him. God judges that man according to his own life. And so he says, if you call on the Father then, make sure that you pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now that's a common expression, pass the time. Why does Peter talk about passing the time here? And how are we to pass the time according to what he says? Well, you'll notice that he's mentioned the Lord's coming several times in this book. He talks about the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time in verse 5. He talks about the appearing of Jesus Christ in verse 7. And he talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ in verse 13. So Jesus is coming. And what are we to do in the meantime? If we're just pilgrims here, what are we to do until we reach our home? What kind of attitude should we have? Well, Peter tells us. He said to pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, in the fear of God, revering him, respecting his word, being serious about life, about death, and about eternity. We should never pass the time being careless. We should never pass the time living for the world, and we should never pass the time by wasting time. Peter said, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And Peter is going to say more about living in the fear of God throughout this book. And remember that Solomon said, this is what life is all about. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13.